You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. Today it's in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, it's nice to see you guys here. And looks like the semester's getting ready to wind up again next week on Tuesday for us. We'll be beginning our spring semester. And it starts off cold usually, and then we start to see the trees start to change and all the lovely things of spring appear. And it's an exciting time. I usually find the spring semester just goes like that. It's a blink of the eye, and we're at the end of the semester. And the reason for that is because, at least my time, it gets extremely structured. And if you put any kind of structure on your life, things tend to go through very, very quickly. And my time this semester is highly structured. And I have, let's see, I've got one, two, three, four, five courses running, so they will keep me busy. And they keep you busy because you got to prepare for them before they start, of course. You want to make sure that all the things are in place. And then there's other things that you cannot prepare for because you want to make your course a little bit contingent on how your students are. How are they reacting? They don't always react the same. You don't always have the same group in the sense of their abilities and so on. You've got to meet them where they are and bring them forward. That's my belief. You know, wherever they are, okay, don't try and fight it. Don't try and say, well, you should be here. Well, it's just not life. That's not the way it is. Students are all at different places, and you've got to be able to adjust. So we're looking forward to that, and I always enjoy my teaching. You know, I look at people who have jobs. They get up in the morning and got to go to work. That's not like that. It's not like that for me. And I can say that just completely honestly. Let's go, man. Let's go. We're enjoying this. And I can remember when I was in Auckland, we used to have some terrible times getting parking. That's one of the great things. When we came to Oklahoma in here, you think you get bad traffic here. There's nothing. Nothing. We'd have to work around the traffic. Sometimes it meant that we'd have to get in very early in the morning just to look for a parking. And so sometimes we had to park the car quite a bit away from where the university was, and then we'd walk in, and there was this bridge that goes across the highway. Up on top of that was a railway lines, and trains would go across it. But they'd put billboards across there. And we took a picture of this billboard one time because I had a picture of this guy getting up in the morning and jumping across the desk from where he's got to work. And he said, what did he say, Seppi? Something like, thank God it's Monday. Something like that. Thank God it's Monday. It's so unrealistic for many people, right? It's just the opposite. Yeah. Thank God it's Friday, right? Mm-hmm. The week's over and you're looking forward to the weekend. But this one was different. Thank God it's Monday. So we are a little bit like that. We're kind of a bit on the edge there. And let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together to open the scriptures. And we are thankful for the work we have, for the jobs and for the income we make that can buy the necessary goods and food and whatever we need. We thank thee, Lord, and we pray for those who are not in that situation. You'd reach down, give them peace, and Lord, in thy time, work and profitable business. Pray for those who are unwell, Lord, that your healing hand be upon them. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are on this subject, which is the ends. And I mean, I don't profess to be inspired, but quite often when I look back at the decisions I make about things to study, they seem to be quite inspired, at least personally, because I end up learning so much more. And so looking at this subject, I'm beginning to see some things that I've missed. And so this idea of the ends really is quite cool, because it has very general application to our life as well as what you find in the Bible. For example, if you look at Paul, okay, in his own life, there, of course, Paul was on sentence of death. I mean, he's going to be put to death, and he's quite knowledgeable of the fact that this is going to happen to him, but he doesn't know exactly when. And, of course, the closeness of his death relative to what his natural life would have been is so much more close and so much short in terms of time. But nonetheless, there are parallels in our own lives that we only have a certain amount of time on this planet, and our end also will come. So an end is involving us. There are different ends in our own preparation for whatever job we're going to do, whatever our training is going to be. It comes to an end. Things come to an end. Ends are very interesting things to study, because they open up vistas of things will happen afterwards. So in Paul's life, you see different parts and progress in his life. And, you know, if you look at Philippians 3:12 and compare that to 2 Timothy 3:4, you see some very interesting comparisons. Just have a look at this. Philippians 3 and verse, let's read around about in verse 9. It says in Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." So a great way of building up your own righteousness would be by following some system of law. "But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now you can have faith in Christ, and you can see his faithfulness. Your belief in Christ is easy because you see his faithfulness. Christ is a very easy person to believe in one sense, because you look at his life, you look at how reliable he was, what he did. Verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." You see, his resurrection is magnificent. He dies, and the third day, God raises him up to life again. And he has what's known as an out-resurrection. People did not have to wait to see the power of God in Christ. And through what John himself says, that Christ raised himself. How's that possible? How's that possible? Unless there's something very special about the nature of Christ. And it says, "and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Now, Paul had a real close fellowship with suffering. He did. Tremendous suffering Paul went through. Verse 11, "if by any means I might attain unto the out-resurrection of the dead." Now, I'm putting in there from the English, but if you look at the Greek word, ex anastasis, the out-resurrection, ex anastasis, the out-resurrection of the dead. It's something that you'd have to attain to. It's not a gift. Now, life is a gift. A resurrection will be yours by faith in Christ. But this business of having fellowship with his sufferings and knowing this power of his resurrection and looking at the conformability of your life unto his death means there is the opportunity of an out-resurrection, but it's not certain. If by any means I might. That means, that implies the possibility of failure. You could fail to reach this. And to make sure that you can see that that is indeed a correct interpretation, look what he says in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already, here's the word, perfect. See, the end. The end. The end. This subject of the ends is massive. It covers so many different subjects. But I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Yes, Christ Jesus apprehends him and gives him life, but the reward is something which you have to attain. You have to attain it. It's of works. And this is not taught by many people. It's not straight. Because they can't associate works with any kind of resurrection, because they simply do not understand that there are different types of resurrection in the scriptures. And there are. Now this is a special one. Now go across from there and go across to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a great book. The more I read this book, the more I can see that there's truth in here that we've missed. Now look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. I want to point out just a few things. This know also that in the last days, last days is the leading up to an end. Otherwise it makes no sense to talk about last. You can't have last and then there's no end of some kind. There is an end. Prior to that, there's something that's last. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of... Man, look at what's going on today, man. Man, we're getting to a real description of things that are going on in front of our very eyes. All sorts of things. And as you come down on further, a little further, so first of all, I want to point that out, that here you've got some kind of last days. Now, whenever you come across the expression last days, you better be careful about where you place those. Because there are plenty of ends, and therefore there's going to be plenty of last days leading up to the ends. You see what I'm saying? So, there's obviously a last day of this age. This age is going to end with the appearing of Christ. Immediately after that becomes his parousia. So you have the last days, Paul talks about, and all sorts of things will happen in the last days of this age. So this age goes on, and then there is some sort of end to it, right? There is an end to this age. And we know that there is an appearing, an epiphania, this great appearing. And it says this a little bit further down. It says in verse 6, 4, this is... chapter 4, and verse 1 I'll read, because I better get a bit of context. So in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice doctrine. You exhort with all long-suffering. That's a hard thing to do, but we've got a good example of someone with great long-suffering in the person of Christ. And doctrine. Doctrine is something that's lacking today. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Yeah, they want all kinds of teachers. They want people to give them the things that they want to hear rather than things that will help them. Boy, is that an application. Man, is that an application for what's going on today in terms of health? There's an interesting book being published from a psychiatrist out of California talking about mass psychosis. And he was saying how much just walking out of his door, it's akin to walking into the door of a mental asylum. And he's serious. And there's some very close parallels going on there. And the thing about this is people just want to hear the doctrine they want to hear. And you try and show them anything else, no, that's not according to the paradigm that I'm got onto, and I don't want to hear anything else. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Absolutely right. Fables, man. And I hate to see our own brethren moving off into fables. You know? There are believers around the world who know something of right division, but in many other respects, they are moving off into fables. And they're going to get hurt from it. Really hurt. And it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Yeah, proof. You know, in mathematics, we use proof. Proof. And what we want to know is, we want to know the certainty of a statement. We make a mathematical statement, and we want to see the certainty and truth of that certainty, and the best method we have is a system of proof. Proof. Prove it, man. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Okay, now his departure is at hand. I do not believe it means that he's just going off on a trip here, because the offering is the drink offering. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Wow. So back there in Philippians chapter 3, he wants to attain. Now, right near the end of his life, much more certainty in here, right? Much more certainty. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Love his appearing. His appearing. Something very distinctive. Something very, very different. Something that is part of right division, man. Right division. There is the parousia, and there is the appearing. And to understand the doctrine of the appearing, you must rightly divide the word of truth. And you must understand that Paul, the prisoner, was given a fresh revelation. Well, man, we better watch out. We'll get off onto another trail here. So let's get on to target. Let's move these slides along. We have looked at this whole business of be ye not children in understanding. Don't be a child in understanding. But in understanding, be full age. Be perfect. Be perfect. That's what we need. We need mature people in the faith. And so we have this interesting scripture, which is in the context here of gifts and signs and wonders. Brethren, be not children, understanding how be in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. That's perfect ones. And I showed you that. You know, when it comes to the Bible, it requires that you study, you show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Isn't that interesting that Paul says that in 2 Timothy 2:15? Right? Have a look at that with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says this. Let's just back up a little bit, verse 11. So 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Okay, great, man. There's primitive life in Christ. All you need to do is believe on him. You identify with Christ and you have life. Nice. Beautiful. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Suffering, that's identifying with him, identifying with the message of this age and sticking to it, and therefore suffering. If we deny him, he also would deny us. Yeah, we'll deny us what? Life? No. This is all about rewards. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. His faithfulness, in contrast to our unfaithfulness. You know, I was thinking about Tulip. You know, Tulip, from as the Calvinist presents it, I deny every single one of those points. Every single one of them. T-U-L-I-P. Every last one of them. In its Calvinistic context. Deny it. I think it's all incorrect. And then it goes on down here. It says, verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is all in the context of getting things right in the context and within the environment where there is doctrinal confusion, where people are trying to pull you aside. You are supposed to be a workman. And it goes on and says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodly. See, this is surrounded by, this verse is surrounded by this environment where people are trying to pull you aside. And one thing that I've come to understand about principles and the teachings of the Bible rightly divided is it keeps you on track, man, with God, I mean. Now, we don't need to stick to some tradition, but we need to stick to God. And the way that we're going to do that is by rightly dividing the word of truth. And their word will eat as doth a canker, verse 17, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul has no problem whatsoever of calling these people out who are teaching false doctrine. And notice it says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. And it says in verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. What's the result of teaching things incorrectly? The overthrow of faith. And notice in important things related to the resurrection. Isn't it important and amazing and important to see that this appearing is such an important doctrine for Paul and therefore for God? And that discussion about the nature of the resurrection is so important. And these all are based upon the ideas to do with the end and the last days. All tied together. Can't help it, man. Well, we talked about this verse, which is the basic verse from which we get this idea of the ends. It says here, the most important thing, let's just read the English here. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, that's types. Okay, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. The ends of the ages are come. Wow, ends. Wait a minute. It says they are written for our admonition, and then upon whom, upon us, the ends of the world are come. Boy. That thing there is just amazing. Because what it tells us is this. It says that if you look at what's going on in the Acts, that there are ends of the ages being experienced in the book of Acts. Ends of the ages. That means there's fulfillment of prophecy happening in the book of Acts. And that's why you find it here in 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians is part of the Acts revelation. Okay, so here we've got this picture, we've got various ages, and there's Acts. Ends of the ages have come, and if the ends of the ages have come, it wouldn't be too surprising to see that there's some sort of end in prospect, some sort of border. We talked about this, the perfect man, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete man. Again, coming back to each individual life, we in our lives should look to be brought to perfection. And since I discovered that, talked about it last time, we'll move on. I've also talked about this passage, which shows you that an end is often a progression. That when you have this particular end in view. It's not happening simply at the coming to the world of Jesus Christ, coming to the earth. There, that is one form of an end. But the end in view here is when God will be all in all, and that only happens under the progression here, when Christ reigns for a time, and he puts down all rule and authority, and then he himself is made subject unto the Father, and God is all in all. That's the end in that particular context. And I went through those here. Okay, so this is all cool. And now what I want to do is I want to look at this passage here, moving our study a little bit further on to do with this idea of an end. In Matthew 16:28, look what it says. This is what Jesus says. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Coming in his kingdom. Till they see the Son of Man. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death. Wait a minute. Did Jesus come in his kingdom? Well, no. Didn't happen. But how do we make sense of what's written here? There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, there's all sorts of ways of answering it, but I would point this out to you. See, in the Greek text, it's got this little particle an, which shows that there must be some kind of condition to be fulfilled until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, what does that an mean? Well, it means there is some kind of condition that must be fulfilled before he does this. In other words, you could write it like this. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which should not taste of death till they might see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That is, there is the possibility, provided a certain condition is fulfilled, that they would see him coming in his kingdom. Notice this is in Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Now this idea of fulfillment brings to an end. Right? You fulfill something and it gets to an end. Which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, they might understand the scriptures. These scriptures were open to them. Now come across to the book of Acts with me. With that verse in mind, just go across to Acts chapter 1. I'm trying to get your mind into this. Okay, in Acts chapter number 1, look what it says here. And their understanding was opened. In Acts 1:6, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now this is happening to people who have their understanding of the scriptures opened, right? And then they say, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And then he answers, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. He didn't reprimand them and say, oh, what a stupid question you just gave me. He just said, it's just not for you to know when, right? The times, the seasons, which the Father put in his own power. The timing of this, you're not to know. Right? But the question itself is legitimate. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts is all about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. The context is there. And Acts fulfills this and tells us more about it. Okay, let's have a look at this. Let's look at some passages which I think are quite remarkable. Look at this. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Ha kairos, sunes telemenos. The time is short. This word here is very interesting. Let me just quickly show you something about this word, sostello. Gather up so as to be compact, shorten, right? And as you'd find in Acts 5:6, here's the word. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Well, he's dead, right? And immediately that a person becomes lifeless, and rigor mortis is not set in, like jelly. You know, it's going to be very hard to move a person that's just died because their body is all limp and moving around. So they wind them up and they tighten them, shorten them up so they can handle them. Okay, so it's interesting. If you go back over here, same word. You see, what's happened is the time has become shortened. It remaineth that both they that have wise be as though they had none. Oh, man. So here's the first thing we understand about the ends. You've got to get your ends sorted out, because if you go back before that end and you try and live according to the dictates of that time, you can get some really bad doctrine. You say, but it's from the Bible. Yeah, doctrine that's in the Bible misapplied can be bad doctrine, friends. Bad doctrine. Who's this? It says, it remaineth. Okay, there's time remaining. And in the time remaining, both they that have wise be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Passing away. Time is short. And in this time, which is short, you've got to live a certain way. And in that time, these people would leave their families to go out and do something that God wanted them to do. Now, if you try and apply this today, you'll get people trying to do all sorts of weird things, like leaving their families when they have need. They have great need. And they say, I'm going to serve God. And they leave the family, and the family gets in trouble. Get all this kind of stuff happening. Romans 13:12. Look at this. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. You see, an end is coming. An end is coming. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. In this context, then, he can establish teaching about how you should live your life. But the important point for us to see is that at the time that Romans was written, the day is at hand. What, 2,000 years later? The day is at hand? Been at hand from way back in the first century, 2,000 years later, it's at hand? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense to do that. Obviously, when Romans was written, the time was short. Just like when 1 Corinthians was written, the time had been shortened. Right? And in that light, you live your life. Look at this one here. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, in quickness of time. See this? Shortly. Shortly. That's not too far. Is that 2,000 years later? No, don't think so. It's going to be done quickly. Okay, that's the view. Here's Hebrews. Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, the ages. The context. The last days. Or the last days of prophecy. Here. In the book of Hebrews. Look at this one in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It's approaching. It's nearby. As you see the day approaching 2,000 years in the future, don't think so. Doesn't make sense. Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He that shall come will come. and will not tarry. A little while. 2,000 years? A little while? Don't think so. Yeah, that's not going to work. Something's going on here, right? Something about the axe. Something about the axe is going on here. Some condition must be fulfilled in order that these things happen. And if they're fulfilled, it's all short. It will all happen. It will all come on. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. So Peter, way back there, 2,000 years ago, and all things are at hand. And we are supposed to believe that all things are at hand. 100 years, 200, 300, 400, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 years later, all things are at hand? No, don't think so. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to do that. James. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Parousia. Behold the husbandman. See, parousias. I see. Unto the coming of the Lord. Unto the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Behold the husbandman. That's what's the husbandman? Farmer. The farmer man. Ha, geogos. Geogos. Here he is here. The farmer. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Oh, any one of you who love the land, you know about growing, you know about farming, yes. Yes. Right? The precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Many farmers have to do that, right? You've got to have patience until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. That's close, man. That's close. What? He's at the door for 2,000 years. Now, you can do that if you make the door of your heart, but that's not what this is about. This is about the coming of the Lord. That's about a doctrine to do with the parousia, the coming. He's at the door here. It's close. It's nigh. You see the point? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Well, there's a forgiveness, but it's the same idea that he is waiting to come. And it's close, and Revelation is like that. It's close at hand. Okay, cool. Matthew 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah, that's right. 16:28, Matthew. See, here it is. That same verse we started with. Here it is. The condition. There's a condition in here, man. There's a condition. What is the condition? Repent ye therefore and be converted. This is said by Peter. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached on, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Since the world began. You see here? Here is the an. Here is the condition. The repentance of Israel. Now we've got the key for the end. Now we've got the key for understanding those passages. And it involves this doctrine of the end. And what's being looked for? What is God looking for? He is looking for repentance. The repentance of Israel. And the question is, did he see it? No, he did not see any significant repentance. So he hardened them in their unbelief. And what happens is, ultimately, a new revelation is given. There is an end. There is an end and a border. And after that, a new revelation is given to Paul the prisoner. That's what we are on about here, man. The ends of the ages, getting them straight, allows you to see Paul the prisoner, the one who's given something new, something refreshing, something appropriate for our age. Something which unfortunately people do not study out and they don't want to take it because they like where they are, man. It's just comfortable. I'm just real comfortable in what I'm doing. I don't want to listen to anything new. I just want to keep going with what I'm going on. That's, after all, that's what my parents taught me. That's what I've always been taught in Sunday school. The parables are just nice stories for kids. No, you're wrong. You've got the wrong idea. What you've got to do is you've got to get back to basics and understand that Paul, understanding Paul's distinctive prison ministry, is going to bring you light. And you've got to go for that light. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for the message, Lord, of the ends. And we ask that as we contemplate the lead up to each end, there is an understanding of context. And that context allows us to understand even further. We pray, Lord, that we would be fully adult, fully perfect in our understanding, not children. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.